This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1040, and it's a Relevant Podcast. Here in Orlando, I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, it's Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, downtown Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
And joining us today, Derek's out. He's at some retreat with rappers. So we decided, let's go get another rapper to join the show. Joining us today from Social Club Misfits, please welcome from Miami, Florida, Marty.
Right.
Hey, man.
I wasn't invited to that thing, by the way, so that's good to know.
He was sending me clips of it. You don't want to be there. It wasn't.
Yeah. They're eating alligator. I'm good. I'm okay. They can wrap that.
That's, I like how that's the line for you. It's like, are reptiles being consumed?
He's a Floridian. So, you don't eat alligator?
I mean,
you have iguanas down there?
I'm also like Latin. We don't touch stuff like that. I'm Italian and Latin, so we don't touch creatures that were not listed in Acts when the scroll came down. And they're like, you can eat all these things. Just don't. Not alligator. Don't do that one.
That's interesting. See, Derek won't eat shellfish. Like, he, not that, for health reasons. He actually was like, it's an unclean, once you learn kind of what shrimp and shellfish eat, you don't want to eat those, you know? And he's turned me off of shellfish. So now you're going to turn me off of alligator.
To be honest with you, like, as soon as you said that, I was like, I think I'm going to do sushi tonight. Like, immediately reverse that. You just made me want to have what you guys aren't. Now I'm going to do sushi.
That's the beauty of just not thinking about stuff. Just like anything I consume, I don't think about the consequences at all.
Ignorance is bliss.
It's like
they're
when the
right.
guy makes the chicken nuggets and then he's like, who wants them? And all the kids are like, we all want them still after like the bone and the gristle just in that one movie. Yeah, anyway.
Well, it's like that one viral video from years ago where it showed like McDonald's chicken or some fast food. I don't want to malign the wrong fast food restaurant, but it was basically like
the pink goo.
Pink goo coming out of like a caulk gun.
It was McDonald's.
And it was like, honestly, this is not going to prevent this. This changes nothing for me. Absolutely nothing.
I remember when we watched Super Size Me in like our high school health class, because that's what the Texas public education system thought was good. Like half the students afterwards were like, should we go to McDonald's after this? Like it just made them want McDonald's. It did not like deter them at all. Because I'm not going to McDonald's for the salad. You know, like. If you're doing that, you're lying to yourself. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I have a saltwater aquarium right next to my desk, and I look at what those shrimp and things eat, and it does not make me want to eat shrimp. Trust me.
Well, that's because they're in a controlled. You're giving like little, you know, it's like little pieces of squares that they're eating, right? You have to drop that into the tank.
No. That's what, the fish do. What the shrimp eat is the poop and the decay and the stuff on the bottom. That's what the shrimp eat. That's what I'm saying. Like fish eat
food. I hate to break it to you, but like my mom grew up on a farm. So like I've been around like pigs, cows, all that. They're not the healthiest of animals either. So
yeah, that's true. Well, there's a lot of people don't eat bacon and pork.
It's true.
Yeah.
For those reasons. It's an unclean animal.
But it tastes good.
Yeah.
So...
We're free in Jesus. Yeah. We can eat whatever.
You know,
we want.
People who like also eat all those things that are not good. They live to like 97 years old, like that, and they smoke cigarettes every day. Then the guy who takes care of himself, who's doing a marathon, he dies at 35 because he had a heart attack.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, there's two.
You're tapping into Jesse's philosophy.
Life's not fair.
My thing is like, I think what we, and this is not grounded in science or medicine. This is pure gut feeling. Which is how I live my life, you know, because the jury's still out on a lot of that stuff. My gut's never wrong. And it's telling me that it doesn't really matter what you consume at the end of the day. It's a disposition. You know, if you live your life in a way that you're loving life, I think you're going to end up like that 104-year-old Twizzler eater. You know what I mean? It's all about mindset.
I agree with that. That's a really good thesis. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense because your mindset, I mean, we know so much now about how brain chemistry affects your mood, your energy, you know, depression, not chemical imbalance. And like, so you're right, like a positive mindset is releasing serotonin, it's releasing good vibes throughout your body's healthier, it makes sense.
I'm gonna get some fries after this, that's good. Thanks, Emily. Now I'm gonna go get some Super Size Me.
Yeah, I think you're tapping into the philosophy of, what was it? Not The Shack, The Secret. What was the thing that Oprah got into?
Oh, the one that generated a cult, The Secret?
Yeah.
It's basically that. It's, you know, I'm putting it out in the universe.
Right.
It's like positive vibes I'm putting out in the universe, or like the hot dogs I'm putting into my body. They're going to return to me
Yes.
In invaluable ways. Yes. That's
I like how hot dogs now say, now using real meat. I'm like, what the heck were you using before this hot dog?
I don't want to know. I do not want to know what pre-meat hot dogs were made of.
Well, you know what they're, because I was about to say they put plastic in it, but you know what they're finding in fish, right? That if you eat wild caught fish, there's so much plastic in the ocean and in our waterways now that fish have ingested so many microplastic particles that if you eat fish, you're putting plastic into your body. So they're doing autopsies on humans and they're finding all this microplastics in dead bodies because of the fish we're eating.
I hate this topic, guys.
I'm just saying. Here's what it is. You can't eat anything except organic whole foods vegetables.
Cameron had Cameron went to the Orlando game and then he got the orange cheese, the one that's the plastic cheese. That's what on the nachos with the jalapeno poppers. Yes. I know how it goes over there.
Jesse's the nacho fiend. He's the nacho connoisseur in this.
Just mainline it. Just put the cheese right in the veins, man. You know?
Just an IV of cheese.
Cheese with a Z.
It doesn't even need to be actual dairy product. It's if it's yellow and has that kind of tart little bite and melts well on it, just give it to me.
All right. Well, we have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, we have some serious topics to discuss. David Kinnaman from Barna joins us. There's some been a lot of studies lately about kind of Gen Z, millennials, the future of the church. And so we talked to him about that. You don't want to miss that. At the end of the show, we have a little get to know you with our friend Marty, a little table topic session in queue. But stay tuned right now. Up next, it's Slices. Tired of trying to survive. You're listening to Colony House. The song is Trying to Survive.
The wait is officially over. Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, is out now. Following up on her Grammy-nominated debut album, My Jesus, her sophomore project is jam-packed with 16 songs and features guest artists including Chris Tomlin, Lainey Wilson, and Jordan Davis. Blending her love for God with her roots in all things country, Ann is a true rebel in modern music. Be sure to check out Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, available now everywhere you listen to music.
Okay, it's time for
Slices.
What do you have, Jesse?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the Mr. Beast controversy.
Is it a controversy? Is it?
Well, that's my question, right? for people who don't know, he recently, you know, he's the biggest YouTuber in the world, recently released a video where he is providing cataract surgery for 1,000 patients who are suffering from various degrees of blindness because they can't afford the surgery. And he, you know, it's sort of this feel good YouTube video.
Right.
And, you know, it's been criticized because a lot of people are saying it's performative altruism and that he's, you know, benefiting from other people's suffering. Now he's a pretty charitable guy. And he's recently in response to this, said that he's pledging to give away the entirety of his wealth, before he dies. But he's received a lot of criticism basically because of the performative angle or people saying that it's exploitive.
And some people were saying that he was profiting from it. So like, sure, you're going to give away 1,000 surgeries. It costs you X amount, but this video will make you so much more. You're actually profiting on charity, whatever. So he had to address that as well.
Yeah. Which, I guess my thing is, even if that's the case, does it matter? And do you guys think he is... it should be subjected to this type of criticism.
I have two thoughts. Number one, he did respond to the accusation of profiteering, and he said his average YouTube video this past year lost $1.5 million. He's like, what we spend on these big acts and these big charities and moments and things like that does not get made back by advertising revenue. He's like, we lose about $1.5 million. So that's just an unfounded accusation. And then but the idea of like, I don't know. Like it's amazing you're so generous, but do you have to do it for the camera? That kind of, it's kind of a valid thing in my mind. I mean, the Bible talks about that, you know, like to be generous in secret sort of a thing. So it's like, I don't know.
But the other question is, like, if he wasn't doing it on camera, would he be able, like,
to do it?
That is his platform.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's a content creator. That's what it enables him to have all this money to do charitable things. You know, like, you know, I get the idea of performative altruism or, you know, receiving your earthly reward here via YouTube comments and little likes on YouTube or whatever, or YouTube ad revenue in this case. But, you know, does it really matter if at the end of the day, 1,000 people that couldn't see can see now?
Well, and the non-cynical side of me says, hey, he's setting a great example to his generation to say, like, hey, if you have a lot, you should do a lot of good with it. You know, that kind of thing. So I think it's like, we don't have to be cynical and, like, you know, think that everybody's out for the wrong reasons. But and the other thing, too, is he's 24. I mean, he's like hardcore Gen Z. And you got to remember, Gen Z films everything. They have lived their entire life on TikTok and on IG and whatever. And it's it doesn't even cross their mind to not film going to the gym or, you know, doing a big thing like this and putting it online for people. So it's like, I don't think there's ulterior motives. I don't know. I just think people like to be complaining about stuff.
Yeah. People, there's also performative outrage is like, just like performative altruism, where if I find myself outraged at something, especially if it's something contrarian, like, well, I'm going to tell you why you're wrong for liking the new Mr. Beast video. There's something performative about that, just like they're accusing him of a performative thing, you know?
Yeah, I think just like the fact that I think he started doing this when he was like 13. So it's like over almost half his life he's been like filming it. So it's like, I don't think he's doing it for like a performative reason. This, like you said, Cameron, like this is just what he's always done, is just like, yeah, record things, do it online. But I also think there's so many other content creators who are 24 and are just very selfishly posting their own life and their own daily activities, which is fine. If that's what they want to do, that's okay. And it frustrates me that when this person who has the means and is doing something to truly like change someone's life, when it's met with criticism, it's like, I think there's times where there could be valid criticism. This is not one. Like, the performative aspect of it, you can make that argument for anything. Like, I could do something really kind and just like share it with my friend and they could immediately be like, well, why do you, you know, like, it's easy to critique. Or you could just say, hey, that was really good that you put something good out in the world when there's so much bad going on. And so I'd rather celebrate the good things happening than like critique the quote unquote negative things.
Marty, you're a professional content creator. You live on social media.
I was waiting for this moment. I'm about to say some stuff right here.
Do it. Bring it.
First off,
bring it. Bring some heat.
I think, like, first off, I just laughed because I don't think most people have seen this video. I think that everyone's talking about the title of it. I don't think anyone's seen the video. I'm pretty sure on the video, when I was watching it, he's sharing the stories of everyone and their blindness. So it's like a Benny Hinn crusade, if you will. You know, it's like they're sharing. They're like, Pastor Benny, he's been blind for 12 years. And so this is Robert. And he's, you know, like it's they're telling the story, which is great. But also, I mean, like, I agree with Emily. Like, the video before was making the world's largest hot dog. Like, at least he's doing something positive with the video, you know what I'm saying? Like, his videos are pretty much, you know, they're supposed to, I remember I saw his TED talk or something he did where he was talking about how, like, he spends 3 hours on his thumbnail. And what was the most creative part about the video was actually how they labeled it to me. When I saw the video, it's like, we cure 1,000 people's blindness. And I was thinking, how many other ways could you even write that as like a clickbait? But the way that it looks, it causes us to have that reaction, right? Where it's like, oh, he healed, you know, he cured blindness. I actually saw a video today where the guy was like, he's the Antichrist because he, it's so stupid.
Oh my gosh.
Another Gen Z, they just attack each other.
Marty, now that you mention it, that's a take. I'm willing to dig
Mr.
in here.
Mr. Beast, Mark of the Beast. He's the Beast.
I'll send you the video. Yeah, Mr. Beast, he's doing the eyes, clearing eyes and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh.
You know, but you know what? Jesus, you know, it's like the Bible says, don't tell anybody. But, you know, Jesus was like spitting in the ground, healing eyes. And now we all know about it. So I don't know. I feel like when it comes to Mr. Beast, at least he's doing something good. And at least he's not making the world's biggest hot dog or the world's biggest trampoline anymore. He's just curing blindness, you know, pretty good.
I mean, but those could coexist. The Antichrist can make the world's biggest hot dog and he can cure blindness. Yeah. And I have no issue with that.
He's going to die, resurrect, biblically. The whole thing is going to happen. I'm excited about that.
Yeah,
I want to see that. I don't think I should be excited because are we going by then? Am I getting?
I don't know. Are we pre-trib, post-trib?
That's the question.
I don't know.
Are we pre-beast, post-beast?
Are we getting suction, to the sky like this is the end with the blue and then you just get sucked up? Or will we get to see him die and then, you know? Anyway.
It's interesting to me. I don't know. It's just interesting to me. I'm like, I feel bad for him. It's like, he's just trying to do good. Yeah. You know?
It's a lose-lose.
Because he's like literally going, I'm not making money off of this. So it's like,
yeah.
What do you want him to do? What do you want him to do if not this? I mean, like, he's doing good.
Make more cheeseburgers for us? Is that what makes everyone happy? Doesn't make anybody mad when he makes a cheeseburger?
Right.
And Mr. Beast, Ghost Kitchen everywhere. They're all over here, by the way.
And that's what I'm saying about like the performative outrage. I feel like that's almost more of this story seems more indicative of that than necessarily, doing something for attention that's actually doing good in the world. It's just being mad at somebody, finding a reason. You know, we live in a culture where we're very grievance driven, especially online culture. Mm-hmm. It's very grievance driven. And it's like everyone wants to be the first one to be mad about the new thing. Mm-hmm. And to a degree where I feel like that is where the unhealthy performative like algorithms are rewarding that more than they are. Oh man, can you believe this guy helped a homeless person and now he's getting clout on Twitter? It's like, that's fine. Let's get more of that instead of getting clout for being mad at this person helping the homeless person.
I agree with you, man, because it's like I feel like in the last 6 years, the partisan political discourse and the fighting and the arguing online, it's like, if somebody's on the other side of your line, if they're on the other side from you, no matter what they do or say, you have to find the thing that's wrong about it and criticize it. And I think it's just like ingrained in our culture now that if you're unfamiliar with somebody or you don't really know Mr. Beast or what his motives are or whatever, you're going to assume negative things about them because that's just how we've been taught over the last 6 years, right? So it's like everybody's looking for the thing that's like not adding up or what's his real motive. And it's like just negative, man. How about he's just a 24-year-old kid with a massive platform doing some good with the money that he has? I mean, it's like, let's just relax a little bit here.
But taking the same posture for any random person that you want or celebrity that said the right thing the wrong way. Or, mm-hmm. Can you believe they didn't say this when they...
Right. It's like, why didn't they say XYZ?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
finding, how dare you care about that cause when what about all these other causes that you didn't mention?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That sort of grievance-driven posture instead of one that just giving people a little more good faith approach to it.
Here's my... I think Jess is going to like the conspiracy theory about this. Because you already like sure the Antichrist thing. It's just a video I saw on TikTok, but... I have a theory that there's marketing companies that specialize in the outrage, right? So I saw something the other day about like a makeup company and the lady's like, the makeup is made by someone who is like into witchcraft, right? That was one of the theories they had because she's like, my skin cleared up and like then I stopped using it. I started breaking up. It was a whole thing on TikTok. And I'm like, there is marketing
that witchcraft
money.
Was
like,
involved.
Most people who have never heard of Mr. Beast now know about Mr. Beast because of this. So could it be that also you could manufacture outrage and have companies do that with these like AI accounts and bots and stuff? Like, is that an option where...
Wait, so you're saying your theory is that he's got bots out there criticizing him to like make us be talking about Mr. Beast for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. So now I am outraged at him. I'm outraged for him trying to make me outraged, even though I wasn't outraged. Now I am.
When I heard that Zack Snyder, when he was doing the Justice League cut, when they found out that all those bots were AI. And that like people like we want this, we want the Snyder cut. Like they found like 78% of that was like AI and like fake account. There's a fake outrage that's just off its own momentum, let him finish his movie. So I feel like fake outrage is a business. And if there's a marketing company that specializes in that, like, because really he has done nothing wrong. He's doing something great, like Emily said, for the world, but the fact that we can create outrage. Now my mom's asking me about Mr. Beast. She's like, who is Mr. Beast? My mom never knew about, unless it's on 700 Club, my mom doesn't know what's going on. So the fact that, you know, that happened, I'm like, okay, like maybe this is a little too smart, you know?
That's funny. All right. What do you have, Emily?
Okay. So Valentine's Day is coming up and a San Antonio zoo has announced that for a small donation, they will let you name a cockroach after your ex and they'll feed it to an animal.
Oh, wow. I can name a cockroach and watch it get eaten by an animal.
Yes.
You went all out with that one, Cameron, didn't you? You went all out with that one.
I didn't know we were dropping names.
Yeah, dropping names. Okay. All right.
If anybody wants to donate in my name, the name is... I would love to see that as a
first
cockroach.
And last name. Okay, there it is. You know, and address.
It's only $10. So if you have multiple exes you'd like to throw in, go for it.
That's funny.
But yeah, so it's kind of an interesting version of therapy, I think. Yeah. I don't know if it actually works, but it makes it interesting.
Is there like a webcam where you get to watch get eaten? Or is it just you know that it's happening?
I can't handle the fact that you keep doing the name.
Let's bleep this, Jason, in post, by the way. I'm going to go ahead and just, as a longtime friend of the show, just bleep it or just punch in some other
friend. You should be like, friend, you know, like just someone else's voice. Friend. If friend gets, so it gets eaten by what again?
The zoo animals.
Any animals?
Yeah, just different animals.
Oh, wow.
Wait, what, do they feed cockroaches?
Yeah, that's what I was like, what eats a cockroach?
Snakes, probably the snakes and spiders and stuff, maybe.
You can also, if you don't want to do a bug, you can do a vegetable for $5 or a rodent for $25.
They're just making money right now. They're just making money.
They are.
I was going to say, this sounds like a scam to me. I'm just straight up. Like, it's like, you can name a star. And it's like, who's registering this? Like, who's like in charge of space real estate? And they're like, he paid $10 for that online certificate. That star is his now. The entire planetary ball system around that ball of gas. He went to this random website and printed off the certificate. So that's what this seems like, you know? It's just kind of a little novelty scam. But where's the $10 going to? Just zoo upgrades?
The zoo. They got to raise money. They're broke.
Terrarium upgrades.
Good for them.
I will say you can do, I think my favorite one is you can do like a package, which is $150. But they send, so when you pay for it, you get a video. But for the $150, they will send a personalized video to
the
recipient of the
car. Wow.
Yeah. No.
Wow. Well, Cameron's all in right now. You might want to just drop the link below.
I say it's getting a little weird. It's getting a little
That's
weird.
That's petty.
It's,
I love it.
It's getting weird at the zoo.
Yeah.
Someone at the marketing person at the zoo has suffered heartbreak.
He's recently been
doing Absolutely. It before and they just caught up to it.
There you go.
That's like, we got to monetize.
Yeah. This is smart. This is very, very okay. All right.
You know. But who would send it? Like they win if you send the video to the ex. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, I'm still on your mind. I've moved on. You know what I mean? You don't send the video.
I think
video.
If you're paying $10 for a cockroach to eat your
Can
ex.
Can you send them the cockroach is the question. the live cockroach.
They open the box and cockroaches just come
We're
out.
We're spiraling like because now bomb. Cameron's getting ideas. And he's like wait a second, did they sell this, send it to the house? Because I have the address.
Wait, so we'll do like a glitter bomb, but it's cockroaches shooting out all over the apartment. I like it. Let's do it.
Yeah, this seems healthy. This seems very healthy for all parties involved, including the cockroach.
Have you seen those YouTube and TikTok videos of like guys who are like getting their packages stolen off their front porch?
I love those videos.
So they booby trap the package and it has cameras and stuff and then tracking devices.
Fart spray.
And like... fart spray, horrible sirens, fog, like it squirts goo out of it. It's so funny because you're watching the person on camera like freaking out and trying to put the box back together and they can't. It's great.
Yeah. It's always some like
we'll do that with
sad
the cockroaches.
Latin family that has like a flag on the wall in the back and like it's like really like dingy how like they didn't need help. And so it's like now all their stuff is glitter on it. Their Mexican blanket of a jaguar has glitter all over it. You know, it's the whole thing.
So sad.
Anyway. It's always in like downtown California. It's like Inglewood. It's like a family that actually possibly needs stuff. And now they have glitter all over their, you know, it's a one bedroom studio. And they're all huddled around opening this package of Beats by Dre. It's always a sad video if you really
think about it. Yeah.
If I caught like one of the, porch pirate, like taking my, my Amazon box, right? I don't know what my reaction it would be. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how much nerve I would just be like, seriously, are you taking it?
Wait, are you talking about like here? You're catching them in the act, or you yes, just found out yes. later it was taken?
No. If I like, you know, saw them through the window, you know, and I opened the door and caught them in the act, would I just be like, why don't we set that?
I've caught somebody. You know what I mean? Like, one of my next door neighbors did it once to me.
And what happened?
You know, I opened the door shirtless. You know, the worst, like I look like, it looked like just something that he didn't know what was about to hit him.
It was the exact opposite thing that he
opened the door.
And
I'm like
a shirtless man.
Who are you?
I go,
who are you? And he was like, I thought it was my package. I go, you thought this flat package was your package
on my doorstep?
Yeah, and he just, I remember him just backing away slowly. And I was like, so then when he was walking his dog the next day, I go, hey, did you ever find that package again? And he was like, no. I'm like, okay, great. Like I carry.
Wow. That's awkward. Yeah. That's awkward.
I it was pretty bad. Like I was like,
don't rob your neighbor. Yeah. I mean, go to the next
neighbor. I know what you look, and I have a Ring camera. I know what you look, you know what I'm saying? I know what you look like. And he's got such an, I was about to say his name, like you, Cameron, kill a cam over here. But I don't want to do because he's my next door neighbor. But I was like, what are you thinking? What were you thinking when you thought that? I'm like, you picked the right one. 9 out of 10, no one would have came out. I'm the one. Out of the 10, yeah. That's gonna.
No, my idea is I'm gonna package myself up in a big, like, Casper mattress box.
Big box. Okay? Don't open till Christmas. And like, oh, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Very fragile, very expensive, you know, dollar signs all over. And then wait till the surprise and they open that bad boy up at their house and it's me in there.
You and a bunch of cockroaches.
Know? Yeah, you with glitter that you just like.
Yeah, you just throw the glitter at them.
Snowballs, glitter in people's eyes. The Latin family's crying. The kids are on the floor. Why are they Latin? I don't know. It always happens. Like
they open a package with a grown man in there throwing glitter, screaming. Yeah,
fart sprays in everyone's face.
It really is. It's like you think it's just like teenagers, they steal the bikes or whatever. No. It's like a husband and wife driving around, stealing packages, going home and having Christmas morning, basically.
Yeah.
The whole family is around the box. It's really sad, actually.
And the ratio of like PS5s, which every porch, everyone's like, oh, there's definitely like a PS5 in here versus like some cleaning solution that you can only order on Amazon and you only order it, it's on sale, or like some weird ingredient for like a meal that you're going to make, which is most of the stuff that ends up coming to my house is just random one-offs. It's like, if anyone stole it, there's certainly no aftermarket for it. Like they're not getting any money for it.
Throw it in the garbage. So please give back to me because I need those tweezers, you know, I needed to order those tweezers. So
man, anyway. All right. Hey, well, Marty, you're sitting in for the whole show. Yeah. You got a slice today?
I got a great one, actually. All right. So how many of you have flown on Frontier?
I have one time.
All right. It's absolutely.
It's better than Spirit, but not much.
I was going to say, I've flown on Spirit, which I thought was the same thing, but Frontier's a little better.
Man, if we're comparing, Spirit would be, how could I compare this? Spirit would be, all these bad examples come in my mind, so I'm going to try to make it PG, if you will. I guess if you're thinking that Spirit is, I don't even know how to explain it, but Spirit's really bad and Frontier is like a slice. I'm trying to think of like restaurants. Like I'm trying to think like we're thinking Arby's is going to be what's the worst fast food to you guys? What's absolutely the worst?
Arby's is up there.
I mean, I don't know who goes and eats.
Arby's has curly fries and Jamocha shakes.
They might have stuff like that.
I like the roast.
I don't know, because I want to say Jack in the Box, but sometimes Jack in the Box slaps a little bit. Can hit.
Maybe Burger King.
I'll say this.
The pocket thing. Yeah, chicken.
I'll say this, which I've convinced myself both are money laundering operations, because I don't know the last time I know one person in my life that has eaten at a Captain D's.
Oh, wow.
What's the other seafood one?
Oh, it's Captain
Long John.
Or Long John Silver.
Yeah.
When is the last time anyone on this podcast has gone or knows someone who's gone to either of those?
So I have one of those Taco Bell Long John Silver's double places near me. But here's how few people eat Long John Silver's, Jesse. Now it's just a Taco Bell.
Oh.
The half of the building that was Long John Silver's went out of business. So... I don't know how that happens.
Yeah, so Long John Silver is
spirit. That's like having a Siamese twin now.
I know. It's like half the sign is empty now. It's just like,
what do we do now? What do we do?
Taco Bell. We do still sell the cod if you want it, but that's all we do is just one piece of cod fish. But
Taco Bell. Yeah,
Taco Bell's just doing fish tacos now.
Have they ever done that? Have they done fish tacos? I think that's smart.
They should.
Right?
Well, do we want Taco Bell fish?
Taco from Taco Bell. I mean, you're going to be out for 3 to 5 business days.
I'll say this. You're flying very close to the sun at that point.
They're upgrading. They've got this Taco Bell Cantina thing going on now. We have a Taco Bell in downtown Orlando that has a full bar. I mean, it's like they're going high end now. They have waiters.
Yeah, in Vegas, Taco Bell, like, you can get married at one. So, you know, Taco Bell is a little bit of like, it's a give, you know, you could get it. But anyway, so I don't even know where I was going with that example. So let's just keep it moving. But the Greyhound Frontier. Of the skies, AKA Frontier Airlines, they're offering a $3.99. You could fly all summer for free. They'll even let you roll down the window on the airline. I'm just kidding. Shut That's up. Not true.
So it's unlimited summer $3.99.
It's actually sold out already. You can't even get it. You have to get the tier two, which is $800 now. But it's could fly unlimited. Here's the catch, because no one ever reads the catch. Ready? You have to book it a day before. International, 10 days before. So if you're saying, I want to fly tomorrow to Denver, you have to book it the literal day 24 hours before. That's the catch. International, 10 days. You could fly. And then, you know, Frontier goes 6 places. I don't know. I mean, they go, it's everything's out of Denver, you know? It's always like, it's not even like a normal airport. It's like, they have to come out of the Illuminati airport, which is the Denver. You guys know about the Denver airport being.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Yeah,
it's like a swastika or whatever. It's like, if you look at the sky, it's like really sketchy. They fly to like Puerto Rico, place in Mexico, and like, I think just 2 other places.
Orlando.
Yeah. So if you want to go and see a Denver game, you can go there. But anyway, it's $3.99. It's first come, first serve. Now it's $800. Fly unlimited.
I like the idea.
But you have to also buy your seat. That's another thing. You got to buy your seat. You got to take your bags out. You got to pay for your bags. By the end of it, it's a $300 flight anyway, just because of all the add-ons that you need to get. You know?
I think they should have a lower tier because you can't pick your time or your destination. You just get on the plane.
Jesse, and they're going to land up. Wherever. You just stand up on the flight.
Standing room
also,
only.
Also, there's one other catch. You have to be with the dogs under the plane. I'm just kidding. No. But Spirit Airlines is offering that. I think,
Frontier.
Frontier, yeah. Actually, Spirit did it last year, believe it or not. But I was going to confuse because they're both so bad, so terrible.
If Spirit was offering it, no, thank you.
Yeah, they had to pay us to fly. But, you know, just think about this, right? How bad is business where now you have to offer a $3.99 fly anywhere unlimited. Across the country ticket to go to 6 or 7 different cities? And I don't know. I mean, if you wouldn't even buy, let's say you didn't buy that, you could still fly to Denver for $40. So, you know, you're not really, that's what you're paying for. And it's literally a next day flight. That's the gimmick of it, which people don't read. They just buy it and they think they could fly. You have to wait. It's like, and then I've flown Spirit. I tried to fly Spirit once. The plane never came. The plane that was stranded, and I was stranded in the Atlanta airport for 10 days or something like that. The flight never came. And then I was like, hey, what happened to this flight? And they're like, it crashed.
You don't even know.
I was like, okay, you know, everyone but a baby died. Oh, okay, great. Good to know. Can I get the next one? You know, it's just
they don't even cover Spirit air flying crashes on the news anymore.
Yeah, they don't. It's like Unstoppable.
It's more news if it actually makes it.
Bruce Willis survived in Unstoppable when I went on the plane. Everyone died but one little baby, and that was baby Bruce Willis from Unbreakable. But I don't you have to pay me to fly Spirit. I don't think I could ever do that. I like how also when I was reading the article, there's very little details because Frontier they hide everything, right? So it's like, man. Spirit, you know, if you want to get a seat with a cushion, you got to pay an extra $50.
Mm-hmm. You want an armrest?
Yeah.
That's $50.
Yeah, you want some water, that's going to be $15, you know. So
seat belts like $20. I think.
Yeah. You want a bag? You want to bring a purse that's really, really small? $25. So
you know Spirit's going away, right?
Good.
They merged.
Good.
It's gone.
With who?
JetBlue.
Oh, they probably bought their routes, had to buy the routes. That's what they're paying for, the routes.
They're going to, oh, and all the planes and everything, they'll all get rebranded JetBlue. So Spirit's going away. So now Frontier is pulling up the rear and all the airline.
The Greyhound of the sky strikes again.
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll do it for Slices. Stay tuned. Up next, Dave Kinnaman joins us.
As the chosen one to speak, let me lay my hand across yours and aim a kiss upon your cheek. The name's plucked too, plucked from the soul. I bring you the daisy of your choice. May
it, you're listening to De La Soul and Otis Redding. The song is I Know, but it's spelled EYE.
Well, today's show is brought to you in part by Crown College, a boldly Christian and academically excellent college providing a lifelong, authentic community. Crown offers on-campus, online, and graduate programs, 18 NCAA Division III sports, international service opportunities, and a vibrant student life. Discover why Crown College is ranked top 3 in America for online Christian education. Visit crown.edu today.
Where our guest today is David Kinnaman. He's the president of Barna Group. You've heard us talk about them quite a bit. A research organization dedicated to studying the trends of the church. He's been a longtime friend. He sat down with Emily to discuss some of the recent studies that show the growing interest of faith in Christianity and what that might mean for the future of the church. Here's our conversation with David Kinnaman.
I feel like I've heard so many other reports that say that Christianity is on the decline and it's losing interest, but your report kind of shows that those are just sort of hearsay and that's not actually what's happening.
Well, Christianity in some ways is on the decline, but the openness to spirituality isn't. And so it's a kind of a both end, and both things can be true at once. So, you know, activity in churches has declined overall in the last, you know, 50 years, and sort of identification as Christians has declined significantly. But rumors of the demise of Christianity are much exaggerated because still, you know, tens of millions of Americans are active in their faith and active in Christianity. And there are pockets of resurgence, even so much as saying that like millennials and millennials of color are more likely to be attending church today than they were before the pandemic, or at least engaged in a church in some fashion. So there's interesting kind of like ebbs and flows to social life and to spiritual life and how it gets expressed. And we're in a very open moment where people are more open to God than we probably could have expected of them. But they're also they're dealing with a lot of questions. And, you know, there's some still residual resentment and hurt that comes from many people towards the church. And so we have to kind of take all that into account.
Like the openness to spirituality, I think so many people read that, specifically Christians read that as they're open to Christianity, but you're saying it's not just Christian faith, it's like any sort of religion, is that right?
Yeah, and remember that Americans, you know, appetite for deep things is really not very deep. They're kind of a mile wide and an inch deep. So they're open to spirituality, they're open to God. They're, again, it's sort of shocking to me, having done this for so long, that people are so open to the idea that there is a spiritual dimension to life, a supernatural dimension. Again, the fact that more than 2 out of every 5 Americans say they're more open to God than they were before the pandemic. Early on, the pandemic seemed to make very little difference to Americans' spiritual appetite. So it's only as the crisis and the sort of the series of things that have happened to us economically, and, you know, racial reckoning and political fragmentation, and people sort of looked more squarely in the mirror over the last few years. It's, you know, we're coming on now 3 years since the pandemic began, and they're almost like, oh yeah, I guess there are some things in my life I probably should take a second look at. So they're open to spirituality, and Christianity could be a critical player in answering, I think, the deepest longings of our time. And that's what I think is a great opportunity for the church to step up and address those questions. But they're not just saying, hey, you know, we want to meet Jesus again. You know, I think there's a lot of different dimensions to that for people, and how that's playing itself out.
Yeah, I feel like I've noticed that too, that it's not that they're people want to just hear about the Bible, but like you said, like they want it to apply to their life in like a very tangible way.
And I think underneath the surface of that too, there's good, healthy questions around what does it mean to be a member of the church? Like, why does the church still matter? And what does it mean to be, you know, in a, after COVID, especially with all the hybrid or online worship, or, you know, I actually think we are, you know, embodied physical people in the physical connection and community, if we are physically well enough to do that, is important. But I also think that the church prior to COVID was unrealistic about the notion of what people were doing online, that there's a sort of, it's a big word, but a pedagogical revolution happening in our midst. How people learn, how they think about, you know, what they know, how they know it. And this is a little theory I have that, you know, just like music piracy 15, 20 years ago changed the way people accessed music, and finally enterprise and business had to come up with new systems to distribute music. So we've had streaming, and, you know, obviously iTunes sort of revolutionized the idea that you could purchase, you know, even on a song by song basis, rather than on an album basis. And so there were business solutions to the notion of music piracy. But I think we're going through a period of what I call learning piracy, that people can learn what they want, when they want, at a price they want, all of which is essentially for free. I mean, you can learn, you can get a PhD in anything, really, if you just were intent enough. And people who are autodidacts, self learners, it's the heyday for that, because you can just go down any rabbit hole on any topic. And I think, you know, our digital age is now mediating knowledge. It's telling us what to learn. It's like the algorithms are picking the things that they think we're interested in, and they're going to be far more accurate to our interests and our, you know, our sensibilities than, you know, the church could ever be. But the Holy Spirit is actually a far more powerful algorithm. You know, it's like it actually knows us at the deepest level, what not just what we want, but also what we need. And so I think there's some really fun things that could be on the horizon as we think about the church as a learning community, not just a place to come and gather. Now, I'm saying not just, because I'm not saying that coming and gathering or, you know, physical or online worship are unimportant. They're actually really critical. But I actually think there's something in what I'm seeing in the data as like this new moment where we can come together to say the things that make us uniquely Christian in identity and practice, those are not just a couple of sermons with, you know, a cute alliteration of, you know, three words that start with the letter P, but that we actually have to learn together, you know, from a lot of Christian tradition and history, and even just from, you know, the wisdom in the world that we can find, and actually stitch together a better way of being human. And so I think that we're in an interesting era of learning piracy, where, you know, I wonder how we can make sense of, you know, the way we should live as Christians in a powerful, deep way that, you know, is not anti-algorithms, because I think there's some beautiful things we can learn online, but actually is pro Jesus being, you know, through and through at the center of all of the things that we learn and the way we live our lives and orient our aspirations.
That was David Kinnaman. If you don't check out what they're doing over at the Barna Group, you should. It's insightful stuff. All right, stay tuned up next. It's Table Topics with Marty. You're listening to Foodakush? I don't even know how to say it. Foodakush? Foodekush. The song is Daydreaming. I spelled it for you, so you can go get the song. Okay, well, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we're going to close out today's episode, get to know Marty a little bit more. I got some table topics here selected at random order, I just literally picked them up. All right, anybody can answer these, but, you know, we'll start with Marty. Marty, have you ever been so happy you cried?
Yes, I cry a lot, actually. I'm a big crier.
Out of happiness? Wouldn't you watch, like, Mr. Beast videos?
No, okay, so, okay.
A thousand?
No one's going to relate cataracts? To me here. No one's going to relate to this, all right? But sometimes I will go on YouTube and I'll Google soldiers coming home.
Oh no.
And I just want to, sometimes the world's on your shoulder and you just need to cry it out. So sometimes I'll watch it and then I'll start comparing it in like a biblical mindset. You know, I'm like, Jesus, I hope that's the way, like when I see you, when I die, that's how I cry because I'm so
done. Oh my gosh.
It gets into the, yeah, there's, you know, we don't
I
have to
actively
talk about,
avoid those videos.
Yeah.
I know I'll cry.
Or like a dog get reunited. Like, we don't have to talk about mom anymore. Now we could talk about this to my Dr. Finkelstein, who's my therapist. But yeah, so sometimes I'll force myself a good cry. And it actually, I feel like exhausted afterwards. And then I have to like take a nap. I don't know. I'm like, it's a hard cry. But yeah, that's pretty, it's like a child
that's
crying.
That's a whole Saturday,
yeah,
right
it's
there.
All, the whole Saturday is wiped out. I was telling Jason when I got on the call, I'm like, I do like one or two things a day really good, and that's the one thing I do, and I'll cry, and then I'll wake up, and I'm my wife's like, what did you do today? I'm like, saw soldier videos. Oh, why do you do that to yourself?
About 6 hours.
Yeah. I saw The Help, and I just cried watching The Help, you know?
I saw soldiers come home from every war since the Second World War today on YouTube.
I saw George Santos come home from fighting in World War II, Vietnam, and the Korean War. And he's just very inspiring. George Santos.
A hero's welcome. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. What do you most enjoy doing by yourself? Keep it clean.
Oh, man. What do I enjoy doing by myself? I like to definitely go to a mall by myself. I don't like to go. I like to go in and out. Don't waste my time when you're with me.
No.
If I go at my wife, she's going to go to Bed Bath & Beyond. She's going to go something. And I'm like,
it's a whole thing.
I'll start sitting on the floor. I'm a little kid. I just give up. But yeah, I like to, when I need to like get something done, like Home Depot or Lowe's, like don't, it's going to be an argument. So don't go with me because I'm in and out, focused. That'd probably be it for sure.
Okay. All right. What do you hoard?
What do I hoard? Let me think in my room right now. Oh, I hoard comic books for sure. Hoard.
No way.
I'm a big comic book collector.
Which ones? Which ones?
Certain styles of comic books. So like right now I'm looking at like 30 of them. I actually, Cameron, Killer Cam, you might like this one. I hoard cards. I have a lot of cards. Like I have so many Jordan cards. I'll just buy everything I see. And then also Beanie Babies. That's the other thing. If I open my closet right here.
Shut up. You do not.
Do you guys even want to do this?
Wait, I also have Beanie Babies.
Emily, can you go grab yours really quick? I don't know. Jesse, can you stay for another 5 minutes?
Yes.
This is insane.
All right. Here's the truth. All right. When we're talking about Beanie Babies.
He's showing us his Beanie Babies.
Guys, okay, so here's the thing.
Wait, I the turkey one. I love that one.
So here's the thing. This is an original one I bought. We were on the road at one point, and I was just kind of bored, and I was like, I want to buy Beanie Babies. So I looked up the top 10 rarest Beanie Babies and just went ham. I mean, Princess Diana Beanie Babies. Stuff that's like this guy right here, which is like an original Beanie Baby, curly over here. Like so I thought it would be a great idea to start selling them. Nobody wants them. They just are there. And so now I'm stuck with about 200 Beanie Babies that are extremely rare. So, you know, really, I jumped on this podcast because if anyone wants to buy some I'm just kidding.
Out of desperation.
Yeah, I have I literally, this is an extremely rare one and it comes in a pack of three. I have all three. I have all three colors. Wow.
Have you seen the documentary?
On Vice.
It's so good.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a series on Netflix.
There's one on HBO Max.
Too. HBO Max, that's what it is. A whole Beanie Baby.
With the divorced couple, have you seen that one?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That one's on Vice. They had it in the 90s when Beanie Babies were so big. They sat on the ground with their, you know, they like fully suit, like pantsuit, and they're splitting Beanie Babies one. And like, there's a line and like the wife has like 30, the husband has, and they're just splitting and they're talking in the, I mean, we have to find the transcripts of that because I need to know that how they priced out, you know, cause everything is public record, but yeah, they fought for their Beanie Baby collection. So I thought I could find them maybe and sell these to them, but they, you know, maybe I can complete their collection. I don't know.
It's actually at my parents' place because I just didn't bring it with me on the move, but I have like a chest full of like a bunch of Beanie Babies, like rare ones too. Some are still in the box. Like there's ones that
you could sell them. You could sell them.
So I'm thinking right now, no.
We should combine our collections and just sell it all as a lot. $1,000.
Give me like 30 years. I think like we're not past the Beanie Babe craze enough yet. Because I'm thinking 30 to 40 years by the time my kids
eventually the novelty nostalgia thing will come back around, right? I mean,
I don't know. Somehow I think they're going to be worth less.
Right. So I'm just holding on till that. So like my nephew and nieces, I actually don't really let them play with the Beanie Babies because I'm like, I need these to be in good condition for when I sell these,
Emily,
and make $1 billion.
These poor deluded people on that HBO Max docuseries believe the same as you. And it's just a sad, you know,
okay, false, well, when I'm a multimillionaire for my Beanie Baby collection and you are not, then we'll see who's sad.
Do you have any rare ones, Emily? You have any like rare Beanie Babies? Like the rarest one I have is I have a Princess Diana. When she passed away, they made a purple Beanie Baby with a white rose.
That's the Holy Grail, man.
And if you look online, Marty, they're like 18,000. No one's buying them. They just are for sale. But yeah.
I can't remember where I got them from, but I have some. They're all still in the box too, but they all have like a different, they're all from like the United Kingdom.
Yes, I have those.
Yeah. So I have, and those, so those are still,
those are
box,
expensive too, but it's crazy. Yeah. The science that I've like dug in.
Marty, you name dropped your Princess Diana Beanie Baby
several times.
Yeah, four times.
It's a rare one.
Because it is like the top, it's like the Holy Grail.
Let me see. I think it might be worth like a couple thousand.
Look it up. I promise you. But thing is, no one's buying them. They're just listing them for like 18 grand. And then
it's like a bored ape at this point.
Exactly.
It's like a bored ape NFT.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Technically, I see that it's technically worth like $100,000. I don't know who's paying for that.
Yeah. Right. Okay. But, on eBay, there's some going for $6,000 all the way up to $15,000.
That's what I'm talking about, guys. We're talking about real money here. We're not talking about Mr. Beast. I'm going to sell these to Mr. Beast, actually.
I don't have all this extra money because I spend all my extra money buying cockroaches.
I was about to finish that sentence for you, but I didn't do it. Kill a cam in the building.
All right. What's your most embarrassing moment?
Really embarrassing. I mean, I have my whole life is years of embarrassing moments.
Is it the fact that you went on a national podcast and talked about your Beanie Baby collection?
No, I'm proud of that. I'm
that's
very
not
proud
even
of
top
that.
10 embarrassing. Yeah.
Yeah, me and Emily, we connected deeply with this downtown Emily Brown over here. We just connected deep with this Beanie Baby. I think one of my most, I've had many, many embarrassing moments in my life. I mean, from splitting pants. I mean, I always think about this one time I was on my honeymoon and I did a full like backflip, slipped in Mexico and like landed on my back. But nobody saw me. That was the embarrassing part. Cause then I have to like look around and no one cares. But I had to process it all by myself, all these internal feelings of shame. And I was like, oh, no one saw it. So I just had a, you know, that was pretty rough one. My wife's like, rough. You okay? Why is your back all red? I was like, I just fell in front of everyone and no one saw it. And I had to process that by myself.
Yeah. So that's pretty rough. Yeah. What are you afraid of at 3 a.m.?
What am I afraid of at 3 a.m.? When you guys, anybody have like the Ring camera?
Yeah.
I love when you get like a notification at 3 a.m. You're like, what's happening? And you scroll, and it's like coyotes. Oh, okay, cool. It's just coyotes scroll running through. But you know what? People in Florida, you know how this goes, Killer Camp. They always try to like open your car in the middle of the night and they try to see what's inside of it. I have nothing inside. I have maybe a pair of boxing gloves. That's about it. But yeah, I'm always worried that someone's gonna do it. So I'm on the second floor of my house and I could like see down. So sometimes when I hear something, I'm like trying to catch that same kid who tried to steal the package from my next, you know, that next door neighbor tried to steal the package earlier in the episode we were talking about.
I had somebody open my car in my driveway and take out in the middle console. I had a checkbook for some reason. They took the checkbook. They didn't touch anything else. So I didn't realize anything was taken, right?
Oh, wow.
Until like my bank calls me a few weeks later. They've been passing checks. I mean, my account was completely depleted. They've been like writing checks, but then they researched it or they investigated it and they were writing checks to themselves. So it was very easy for them to figure out who stole my checkbook. Like, you guys, what idiots?
If you're going to be a thief, be smart about it.
Come on. Do you guys remember when, like, when people would steal your account? This is like in the 90s, but when someone would steal your account, you could see like the information about them. The bank would send you like, hey, here's their address. I don't know if you guys remember that. They'd be like, hey, and like, they live like three blocks away from me. I'm going to catch these people. You know, that's what the type of energy I'm on right now. I'm going to catch you.
All right. Last question. Who are your role models?
Role models. I don't know if I really have any. I think one of my favorite people to watch is, this is of all the Christian people in the world, you know, all these good answers that I'm going to give. One of my favorite people to watch entertaining wise, I love Action Bronson. I know that sounds funny to say.
Really?
Yeah. I really love, I mean, I think he's, I love to cook, which, so I connect to him. I'm from New York. I connect to him. We both love the crappy Knicks. I connect to him. You know, something about him. I was talking to my wife the other day. I was like, I bought his book, the cooking book that he had. It's really funny. And so he's not a role model, but he's someone I always love. Like, I'm invested enough to buy merch from him. But I don't really know if I have any role models. I mean, I don't want to give you an answer.
You don't have a mentor. You don't have a hero that you grew up like idolizing.
I'm Gen Z. No, I'm not Gen Z. I'm probably one above it. We don't have mentors. We don't have anybody that's guiding us. We're just making terrible mistakes. And every mentor I pretty much have has had a sexual scandal. So yeah, you know, I don't really have any mentors anymore.
I mentioned this the other night at dinner. It came up. Every pastor I've had as an adult is no longer in the ministry.
Yeah, 100%. They should be podcasters. That's my theory on it. Like, there's a lot of pastors that need to be podcasters because there's no accountability. You can do anything you want. All you got to do is just preach right here and then keep moving.
Instead of being a pastor.
Yeah. Don't be a pastor if you're going to, because I almost every single church I've been to, like the first church I was a part of, this past, I mean, I even came from a church that when I got saved, I had a scandal and the pastor ran off with somebody in the church and it was a whole thing. And I ended up leaving the church from that specific moment. But yeah, I don't look up to pastors anymore because I'm like, also I have this thing where it's like, you ever talk to a pastor and you're like, how's everything? And they're like, church is good. I'm like, I didn't even ask about your church,
right?
But that's your identity. You cannot separate it.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, it's I used to have pastors who were, I'd really look up to. I'd be like, man, I really love, you know, I'm not going to name drop like Kayla Cam, but I was like, I really love this guy. And then I'm like, oh, great. He was caught in a hotel with four men. And they were curing blindness, I guess. I don't know what they're doing there.
Well, that's just sad, man. I'll be praying for your heart.
That's the reality that I live in. So that's why I watch videos of soldiers coming back
home.
Exactly.
So I was
that's great. Just to cry a little bit.
That's so funny. All right. Well, there you go. That's some Table Topics with Marty. We need a jingle for that. Table Topics with Marty. All right, dude. Thanks for sitting in with us today. It was a lot of fun. We'll do it more often. We got to do this more often.
Bro, I love doing this.
All right. Hey, before we wrap things up, I want to thank David Kinneman for joining us today. Make sure to go check out everything they're doing at Barna. It's good stuff. Also, check out some of his books. He's authored a number of them, and they're all good. Also, if you like the show, if you like this podcast, you're still listening, but you would love it even more if there weren't ads, you can have that. All you got to do is sign up for Relevant Plus. It's our premium ad-free content experience membership. Plans start as low as $2.50 a month. You get this podcast ad-free. You get an exclusive subscriber podcast each week. You get ad-free unlimited reading at relevantmagazine.com. You get an ad-free, beautifully enhanced version of our quarterly digital magazine and a lot more in store this year. You can find out all the information right there at relevantmagazine.com. Just click there on the header or on the nav bar where it says Relevant Plus. It tells you everything you need to know. All right. On that note, we'll wrap things up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Emily Brown.
I'm Mr. Beast. I'm just kidding. It's Marty in the building. What's going on?
All right. We will see you guys on Friday. Have a great week, everyone.
Listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
It doesn't really matter what you consume at the end of the day.
Relevant Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.